Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 348, stanzas 1 and 4. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 1 and 4 of Psalter 348. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, Revelation chapter 2. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who dwellest above, but who humblest thyself to behold all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and then in a special way those things which are done in thy church, as we have read it together out of thy holy word, where thine eye did see all that did take place within the churches, and then there were things that thou didst hate. There were those things which did please thee, and thou didst give direction unto thy servants, unto thy ministers, unto the angels of the churches, that they may know thy will, what thou didst hate, and what did please thee. And thou didst give them instruction how that they were to fulfill the task that was laid upon their shoulders. And Lord, thou knowest also that we stand in that place as thy servant, as a consistory, when we also have that great responsibility laid upon our shoulders, and we are of yesterday and we know nothing. But wilt thou give us that instruction also from above, to show to us those things that thou hatest and those things which please thee, and that we may be enabled also to guide this, the flock over which thou hast made us overseers, in order that we may not be brought into judgment, in order that we may not be punished, but that thy blessing may rest upon the labors within thy church.
Lord, we beseech it of thee for the sake of thy great name, that many also may receive the benefit of the preaching of thy word and all of the labors that are put forth, that many may be brought into thy kingdom also in our days, and that thou wouldst not remove the candlestick of thy word out of our midst, the candlestick of thy truth, and that we should be without it, as is the case with so many that are about us in this world. Oh, that we may be given hearts that then that may experience something of that truth, that we might learn to love it, that we may learn to guard it against all the doctrine which can come against it. And that thou may keep us then from error and make us faithful watchers on the walls of Zion. That thou may give the experience of thy truth in the heart of us as office bearers, but also in the hearts of each and every one of us as members of the church. That the truth may be loved by us, that it may be experienced by us, and that we may be united around thy holy word, and so that thy name may be glorified within and without. Wilt thou so look upon us as a congregation in thy mercy, and as a denomination also, Lord, that thou may be pleased to spare us from departing into ways of error, and that thou may watch over each and every one who is bringing thy word in the midst of the congregations of our denomination. Lord, that we may be instructed by thee, and that we may be kept by thee on every side, and that we may be protected by thee, and that we may be made honest by thee in the midst of our flocks, and that we may be receive the blessing of thy Holy Spirit. Send yet more ministers into thy vineyard, that there may that the pulpits that are empty may yet be filled, and that our children also may be given to hear the truth of thy word from generation to generation. Look upon our school and all of our schools in mercy. Wilt thou grant our teachers the fear, the tender fear of thy name? Oh, that their great responsibility may also weigh upon them day by day as they are standing every day in the front of our classrooms, and as they are setting an example by word and by action to all of our children. Oh, that that all together the fear of thy name may dwell in that place, and that our children may be given to feel something of that awe that is struck in the heart of our teachers for thee and for thy word and all that is sacred. And that thy spirit may also work savingly in the midst of our children. And do look upon us as parents, make us faithful also in the instruction, in the warning, in the teaching of our children. And wilt thou keep us from leading them to places of vanity, but that we may lead them to thy footstool. Oh, that we may take their hands, and that we may lead them to thy holy word, there to seek that which they need also in the days of their youth. Then look upon all those that have special needs, the afflicted and the sick ones, the old aged, and those that have difficulty of body or of mind. Wilt thou supply in all the needs of this life? And wilt thou remember all those that rule and reign over us? Lord, grant thy spirit in those high places of the earth, that there also thy word may dwell, and thy spirit may work, that we may live peaceably as a nation and as nations together, and that thy word may be honored and be all thy commandments may be followed. Lord, look upon us in this afternoon hour. We are called once more in this afternoon to bring a portion of thy word, thy truth, that doctrine which is according to thy word, that is laid out by our forefathers on for our benefit, and that thou may give us then to meditate upon these matters, and that they may be for our welfare in this day and every day, and that thy spirit may bless and sanctify thy own word this day. Bring us into thy kingdom. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 421, stanzas 1 and 2. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. How good and pleasant is thy dwelling. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 421. Congregation, what is the origin of authority? Authority is not that which originates in man, that originates in a decision of man, that he may place someone in authority in this world above him. But authority originates with God himself. God as the maker, God as the creator of the whole universe, of both man and beast, has seen fit to keep order within this world by way of authority among men. That is, that he is setting up one man, that he is able and given authority over another man. Thus, an establishment of authority in the civil government, in the home, and also within the church. Within the home, which is really the foundation of that authority, and that is in a special way with the father in the home, who is made to be head of his wife, and then that wife also, when there are children, to be given an authority with him. And that you children, not only when you are young, but young people, also when you become older, and that you are under authority. That is, and not just a decision of a man, but that is the decree and the institution of the Lord himself. Thus, when we will speak against our parents, when we will disobey our parents, then at the same time we disobey God. There is authority also within the government. Kings and princes and prime ministers and presidents and so on, that they are given a place to rule over men by God himself. Paul writes to Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. Then there are also lower forms of authority. We may call them gatekeepers. If we go to the airport, and then there is always authority there that are keeping our borders. They have authority to let this one come in and to withhold another one from coming in. Thus in the home, thus in the civil government, how is it now within the church of God? Does the Lord give order in society and leave chaos within his church? He does not. But how is now that authority administered within his church? Is that even as we see that it takes place by the Roman Catholic Church, and by a pope and his bishops and a priesthood, that men are called to bow before them? No, so it is not. This is a carnal manner. This is what man desires, even as we read it of the disciples, that they desire to sit on the right and on the left. But this is not the Lord's way in his church. And as we can read, and I've read together, and that the Lord has given instruction unto his churches. So we read this also in our Heidelberg Catechism. And we wish to consider together this afternoon, Lord's Day 31, questions 83 through 85. Lord's Day 31, questions 83 through 85. Question 83. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel? Answer, thus. When, according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God. For the sake of Christ's merits, and on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them, both in this and in the life to come. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer, thus. When according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church, or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God himself, from the kingdom of Christ. And when the promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. So far, our Lord's Day. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. First, the keys in general. Second, the key of the preaching of the gospel. Third, the key of church discipline. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. First, the keys in general. Second, the key of the preaching of the gospel. Third, the key of Christian discipline. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Where does that name come from? That is not from our fathers merely, but that is from the word of God. We read this in Matthew 16. There the Lord speaks unto Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thus the Lord Jesus makes an analogy again. And he speaks about the keys. And when he does so, he speaks about a steward. Thus, a person who is given charge over his master's house. And he is given the keys of the house. He is entrusted with the government of the house. And he is permitting one to enter, to go in and out, and forbidding another. And then the Lord is comparing such an earthly steward to a steward within his church, thus comparing this to office bearers, to elders, to ministers in a special way, that he says they do not have their own authority, but these are given a key. They are not the master of the house, no, but they are entrusted by that master with the keys to that house. Thus, the Lord Jesus entrusting unto men, establishing and instituting a ministry within his church, and sending forth his apostles that they may serve as stewards within that church. That does not mean that everyone is forbidden to speak of the gospel. No, but it means that not everyone is permitted to preach. Thus we read that the apostle says, "How shall they preach except that they be sent?" Thus those that are given that key, those who are the ones who receive that authority from God himself to bring his word and to exercise this key of the preaching. And that is not only of the preaching, but that is also of what we read here, a Christian discipline. That does not mean that we may not and that we ought not also to admonish one another as members of the church, those that are concerned for the welfare of one another. We hope to hear that. But to actually, in an authoritative way, exercise discipline within the church of God that is left to those who are given the keys. Why is it called a key? Children, that makes it easy for you to understand. What do you do with a key? Say, with a key, we open a door that was locked, and we use a key to open it. Or, the other way around, a door that is open, then we use a key and we shut the door and we lock the door. Thus, the use of a key. What is now that house that the Lord Jesus is speaking about? That is not just our natural house or another building in this world. No, but he is speaking about the kingdom of God. And we read in God's word that that kingdom has a door. Who is that door? The Lord Jesus says, "I am the door." Thus, that kingdom has a door. There is a way of entrance into that kingdom of God. And now that key, or those keys, they are to be used by the stewards of that house to whom that they are given, and that they may open, or on the other side, close the door to the kingdom of heaven. Thus, that is a serious matter that has not to do with earthly things, that has to do with our eternal, our spiritual welfare. And this authority that is given unto the church, when the Lord says that whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That is not an authority that belongs unto the civil government. Who was that king, children? Who was that king who went to offer sacrifice incense in the house of the Lord. That was Uzziah. And then the servant of the Lord, Azariah, he went in after him. That took much courage to go in after the king, the civil ruler. He would be angry for sure, but he was faithful. And he went in after him, and what did he say? He says, it doth not pertain unto thee, Uzziah. It does not pertain to you. It has not been given unto you to do this work by the Lord. Thus, we read how that the Lord is the one who is himself giving those keys to whom he will in this world. Thus, that is not only in the home that the Lord is giving that authority unto the Father in a special way. And that is not only in the civil government that the Lord is setting up one and he is putting down another, even though it be in a democratic method in this world by men, that is guided by the Lord, sometimes for our judgment. But so that is also within the church. And the scriptures clearly portray this authority to be given unto his church. Moses, very clearly called by the Lord to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then in the midst of the wilderness, there were those who came against Moses. There were those who questioned the authority of Moses. There were those who came to challenge Moses in this authority. And we see how the Lord has dealt with those who have dared to question that authority which the Lord had given unto Moses. We read that also, how the Lord very strictly commanded the children of Israel in the Old Testament concerning the obedience unto the priests and to the judges. And that man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, or even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. Then we read also, or we have read together, Revelation 2. Then we see how that the Lord, he is giving authority within his church, and he is holding those who he has set in authority accountable. Thus, when he speaks unto the angels of the churches, he comes unto them with a threat. Because there were those Nicolaitans which we read that the Lord hated. And when they would leave those Nicolaitans within that church, then the Lord, he has threatened that he would come with his punishments. Thus, what a great responsibility do those have placed upon their shoulders who receive this authority from the Lord himself. This opening and the shutting of the kingdom of heaven, that is not as Rome would say that it is. But it has a very completely different nature. Why? God's servants, they are not called, they are not authorized to execute anything, but actually they are called, they are authorized to make a pronouncement. To whom does the execution belong? That is not to those who are set in authority, but that is an execution which is belonging unto the Lord himself. Those to whom the Lord has truly given those keys,
those to whom the Lord has truly given this authority, and when that authority that is as administered not in accordance with the corrupt ways of man, but when that authority is truly administered according to the will of the Lord, then it is the Lord Himself who is going to execute what has been pronounced by His servants. How do we see that in the Word of God? Children, you know that. That when Ananias and Sapphira came before Peter and the apostles, that Peter had no sword in his hand, then it was not up to him to execute punishment and judgment upon those who had sinned so seriously and grievously against the Lord and His church. But Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter made a pronouncement against both Ananias and Sapphira. And it is upon this pronouncement that the Lord Himself has executed that very serious judgment. Thus, man may curse, or man may bless, and it means nothing from the side of the Lord, unless the Lord Himself has given man the authority to do so, unless the Lord unless man is walking and administering this authority in the way of the Lord. What does Solomon say? He says, "The curse causeless shall not come." Thus, when that curse that is made in a wrong way, also by those who are set in authority, then the Lord will not execute that curse. But when that curse that is now done in the name of the Lord and according to right judgment within the church, then man is standing before the execution of Him that has placed this authority upon man. Moses had no sword in his hand. Moses had no soldiers to execute commands that he may punish the people. But those, Korah and his company, and when they have come against Moses, then in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Lord, Moses may make a very serious pronouncement against them. And because this was by the will of the Lord, the Lord has honored His servants in the execution of this pronouncement. The disciples, they are given authority. They are given authority even over the evil spirits. They have not any earthly means, but it is by a pronouncement that the disciples are by the Spirit of the Lord casting out the very devil himself. Thus, the nature of the keys that is such that only the true servants of the Lord and those who are rightly bearing those keys in a right manner will open and close that door of heaven with those keys, not on the merit of their own strength, no, but under the operation of the Lord's hand through the ordinances which He has given within His church. An eternity that is going to reveal how that the Lord has used His servants and the institution of His keys to open and to shut that kingdom of heaven. But what now are those keys specifically?
That is in our second thought, the first one that is the key of the preaching of the gospel. Thus, it is by the preaching of the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is both opened and shut. This is the ordained way of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is not opened and shut through the personal discussions of persons concerning the Holy Scriptures. The kingdom of heaven that is not opened and shut by topics that are given upon the Bible. The kingdom of heaven that is not opened and shut by teachers giving Bible lessons, by parents giving Bible lessons, by others teaching that Bible. No, all of these good, all of these right, all of these commanded by the Lord. But they are not the key to the kingdom of heaven. And never may we place such topics, never may we place such discussions at that same level as we may place the preaching of God's holy word. Why not? Because the preaching of the gospel that is more effective, humanly speaking, may be the opposite. Because you say, perhaps our children, they come into the church, they don't understand what the sermon is about. Then maybe we ought to have someone go downstairs and we have them gathered with all of the children. They tell them the Bible story downstairs and while the minister preaches to father and to mother. What do you think, children? No. No, that cannot be. Because that instruction in God's word, as necessary as it is, that is not the key to the kingdom of heaven. And then we may be a very small child. And we may not understand very much of what is said in the house of God. But we don't need to understand very much either. No, because the Lord, He is blessing and He is sanctifying His own ordinance. When the Lord says, this is now the key, then it is not what man thinks is best for the understanding of our children, but it is what the Lord says that He is going to sanctify. And then we can be but a few years old and understand so very little, but the Lord can bring one word into the heart of our children. Thus we must honor the institution of the Lord and not think that we are wiser than He to say unto the Lord, what doest thou? Paul says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thus, the key unto the kingdom of God. And now by this key, God's servants are to open and to shut that kingdom. And to whom must that kingdom of God be opened, and to whom or against whom must the kingdom of heaven be shut. We don't have to look too far for this because the Lord Jesus says this in his own word. He says, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Thus, we have in one word, unto whom that kingdom of heaven must be opened and against whom it must be shut. Thus, this is our instruction from the Lord, how that we are to preach that holy gospel. That kingdom of heaven, the Lord says, that is to be opened unto whom? Unto those whom he has opened it unto. And to whom has he opened it? Well, we read that he has opened it unto publicans and sinners. That he has opened it unto those who do not dare to look up unto heaven. That he has opened it unto those who have to smite upon their breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or we can read to whom it is opened. It is open to those who are black. It is open to those who are vile in themselves. It is open to those who are guilty. It is open to those who are filthy, to those who are polluted. It is open to those who from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot are wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. To whom must we open the kingdom of heaven? Or we must open that kingdom of heaven to those who abhor themselves with Job because of their vileness, because of their wretchedness. To whom must we open that kingdom? We must open that kingdom to prodigal sons and daughters. To those who have wasted their living with harlots. And who say, I will now arise and I will go unto my father. Then the Lord says, you must open that kingdom to them. Oh, you must open that kingdom to whom? You must open that kingdom to all those whom the Lord Jesus calls blessed. You must open that kingdom to those who are poor in spirit. You must open that kingdom to those who mourn, to the meek, to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Go out into the highways, into the fields. Call those that are maimed, the lame, the deaf, the blind, those that cannot help themselves, and open, oh, open that kingdom of heaven unto them. That is not our word. That is our commission. That they may come in. How are we to open it to them? Are we to open it to them by going to their places and by laying hands upon them and saying, now you must not fear because you feel your sin and you must now be a child of God. No. No, not so at all. It is not by the laying on of the hands of men that the kingdom of heaven must be opened. But our fathers declare it when, according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. Thus it is to be declared.
It is to be declared publicly in the midst of the congregation what? The freeness of the forgiveness of sins. To whom? To the chiefest of the sinners. Then it is to be declared that it is not of our own work and it is not of our own merit. In which that people, do fear that they will stand forever on the outside of that kingdom because they are not able to obey those commandments of the Lord. No, the Lord says, open unto them that kingdom of heaven and show unto them the freeness of my mercy, a free and sovereign grace unto those who are so very, very unworthy in themselves. Oh, is that not a blessed opening, congregation of the kingdom of heaven? Does not a minister have such a blessed work? And when he may declare unto all those who have sinned so far away, sinned themselves outside of that kingdom of God. Oh, they have departed so far away from the Lord. Oh, those who by a true repentance desire to come again into that kingdom, to return unto the Lord. And when we may so freely declare unto that people, and that such ones, they are received by Him solely upon the merits of His only begotten Son, and that it is so completely finished, and that that price that is so, so completely paid, and that that punishment for sin that is paid by the only begotten Son of God, so that He Himself did say it is completely finished. Oh, that He has kept that law, and so that you are that you do not need to keep that law, and in order that you may enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, is that not a blessed work? Would you not like to be a minister, young people? Would you not like to be a minister? That is such a blessed work. But now it has also another side. And that is a fearful work. It is a fearsome work. Because that kingdom of God also must be shut by those who are given this authority. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted. According to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them. Both in this and in a life to come, all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, those who are not sorrowful for their sins, those for whom sin is no burden. Those for whom sin has never become sin in their life. Who cannot see it. Who do not believe it. Those who actually discredit that word of God. Those who cast that word of God all to the wind. To call Him a liar. Those who see no need for Him whom God has sent into the world, that they might be saved, righteous in themselves, rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Not only those who do not repent, but also those who do not sincerely repent. Hypocrites, self-deceivers,
Those that uphold themselves despite all the evidences in their life which are to the contrary. Those stand all exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted. Thus, congregation, what a message. No, then the Lord does not say that we have to say to them they are already condemned. Then the Lord does not say that we have to say to them, there is no hope for you. But what must we say to them? We must say to them that you lie exposed, our fathers put it this way, exposed to the eternal wrath of God as long as you remain unconverted. Thus, what a message, what a warning, what a responsibility upon as a watchman upon the walls of Zion to deal with the souls of men. Every one of which is going to stand individually before the judgment seat of God. And we with you. And there to give an account of what we have said to you out of that word of God. Also the warnings. That preaching also has a purpose. To say to you, you stand exposed to God's wrath. That has a purpose. What is that purpose? Oh, that it would move you. Oh, that it would quicken you. And that you might flee from that wrath to come. That was the purpose of the Lord when he sent Jonah unto Nineveh. And he had to declare against them the wrath of God. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was not just a condemnation for their destruction. No, that had a purpose. And, and what was the fruit of that preaching? What was the fruit of the declaration of God's wrath? There was repentance, although for them it was only for a time. But still, congregation, there was repentance. Oh, did that repentance ever occur in your life upon the preaching of God's word? Thus, in order to administer this key of the preaching of God's word, it is so necessary that there be a distinguishing in the preaching. It is so necessary when we are preaching that we are distinguishing the one from the other. And that each of us may listen and that we may hear our own name. Why? Because there is not one message. No, there are two messages. We heard that. There is an opening and there is a shutting. And then it is necessary that we all may know where we stand. What is that message that comes to me? Thus, it is so necessary in the preaching that we are distinguishing the one from the other. So that we do not pretend that that word of God that is just coming the same to every hearer in the congregation, that is not so. The Lord says to his servants, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them,
and say unto the wicked that it shall be ill with you. That is why the Lord said to Jeremiah that you must take forth the precious from the vile. You must make a distinction in the preaching. And young people, all remember this your whole life. Because it is something that Satan today will break down. That he will give one message unto everyone. Only go to the funeral homes of today. Everyone goes to heaven. Is that what the word of the Lord says? No. Then it is a lie. And then you know where that you do not belong. Under that which is deceitful. For it is a deceitful preaching and a cause that there is so little comfort given unto God's true church when the distinctions in the preaching, they are lacking. And when there is but a sewing of pillows under the armholes of men so that they are going careless to their own destruction. Then we are not a true servant. Then we are an instrument of Satan. And then we will one day be with him and listen to all the cries and the groans of our hearers. What a responsibility. Let us sing. 198, 1, 2, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, and 7 of Psalter 198.
Congregation, it is becoming a little late, and our voice is not so well, so we are going to leave our last point till next time, the Lord willing, and close with a few words of application. We have spoken of the first key. And we have spoken a little of that key already in this morning hour. And now, how is it for ourselves? How long have we lived? How old has the Lord permitted us to become? How many times have we heard the preaching of God's Word? A key that is for the opening of the kingdom of heaven. And we have by nature a desire to be given entrance into this place and that place in this world. Sometimes even places where we do not belong. We think of Peter when he will go and desire entrance into the palace of the high priest. And it was for him, not for his own good. He was warned by the Lord of the temptation that was going to confront him there. And yet he is placing himself with a desire that he may receive entrance. Thus, what are those places that we desire entrance to in this world? Young people, how many doors are shut for you that you desire and do indeed enter into? They are doors that are shut for those in a special way that have a baptized forehead. And then we are desiring that we may enter, to have entrance into this place. Or have you ever in your life desired that you may have entrance into that kingdom of heaven? Our time that is so short. It is a time of preparation. It is a time of seeking of a key. A key. And when that time is finished, and that key is not found, then we are going to stand outside of that door. Was that never to us a burden that we are on in this day outside of the kingdom of heaven? How is it that we go over the world? There are those that are brought from the world into the church. And when they are sitting in that church and they are listening, and they are hearing the seriousness of those matters, and they are watching our behavior and the carelessness of our life, they do not understand. Because they say it is a people who profess to know, to have a truth. But it is a people as the Zidonians who are lying careless and secure. Then there are things that do not fit together. And what is it? It is, congregation, as we have heard this morning, that death. That death. so that man is so dead that he does not see the preciousness of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus draws for us a picture. He draws a picture of five virgins. And they are standing on the outside of a closed door. Congregation, place yourself there a moment this afternoon. Place yourself there for a moment this afternoon, parents, with your children. Whom you have taken by the hand, and you have entered into this place and into that place of vanity your whole life long. And now you are standing with your children, their hand in yours, outside of a closed door. Then they will say to us, Mother, Father, why? Why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us there? Why did you say this was important in life? Why did you say that was important in life? Because now, Mother, Father, the door is shut. It is shut. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, a serious matter as we travel to a never-ending eternity. Key, children. Key for the opening of that door and for the shutting of that door. Will you not now seek that you may enter into that kingdom? Will you not seek the key, young people, to flee all those places of vanity? And to come to that place and to read those things which will be to my eternal welfare. Oh, may the Lord Himself bind this upon your heart, and that this key, that we may have the privilege of using in your midst, that key may be blessed, may be sanctified, not to the shutting of that kingdom against you. Because it is shortcomings from the beginning to the end, but congregation, then we have warned you that we stand exposed to that wrath of God when we do not sincerely repent. And how awful this shall be when on that last day of days that we shall have to stand there and to see one another, hear from his lips, depart from me,
Ye that work iniquity and had no desire to enter into that kingdom of God all your life. But now the kingdom is shut against you. The Lord bless, the Lord sanctify His own word and His sending of us in your midst, that it may not be a savor of death unto death, but that it may be a savor of life unto life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct and teach us. And that this key that thou hast given, thy own institution, that it may be used by us in a faithful way, that thou may give us wisdom to use it, that we may open that kingdom with the free proclamation to those who have sinned everything away, that door that is so open, even to the chiefest of the sinners, that there may be comfort, that there may be salvation experienced in the life of thy people. Wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this day, bring us safely to our homes, keep us from sinning against thee on thy Sabbath day, that we may keep thy day holy, and that we may desire to read those things which may be to our eternal profit. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 318, 1, 2, and 3. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise. O Lord, my God, to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 318.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.